make it today. And Diana's not here, is she? Okay. But we just had a wonderful time in the land. So I just want to have them share for just grabbing the mic for you. Just grabbing at the mic. I know. This is our thing, you know. We would say, okay, guys, we're going to be leaving at 9 o'clock. And they're like, yeah, what does that really mean, you know? But just what were some of your highlights and what did the Lord do in you guys? So
I get to share for Devorah, too. So, yeah. Anyway, Devorah's not here because she moved really mightily in the spirit while there. She did a lot of ministry in prayer and deliverance with some people. And she prayed for especially one of my friends named Tikva, who I've known for years, who had a lung disease that I think it's COPD. She called it an asthma disease, but it almost killed her twice. And she came to us just for a fun day in our room. She's a jewelry maker. And so she came up from the Negev and to Jerusalem, and we invited her to our room to display her jewelry for the ladies. And she had happened to be on her 39th day of a fast, and she was fasting for 40 days. And so we asked her, well, are you fasting for anything in particular? And she said she was fasting because she wanted God to heal her of this lung disease. And, of course, Devorah jumps up, well, let's pray for you now. And she pulls out her oil, and her and I lay hands on her, and we start praying for her. And she feels this pain in her chest, and the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she fell down and laid on the ground for about 10 minutes, and then she got up, and she was in, like, peace. She said she felt shalom. Well, afterwards, I went down with her and sat and had coffee with her, and we caught up. And she said that she had been praying for 39 days that somebody with power would pray with her. And nobody had prayed for her until that night. And the Lord revealed to me that the stripes that he took on his body were 39. And so it kind of left like that. And then on the last day that we were there, she called and she said, Millie, I'm healed. I haven't had to take my medicine. And that it was a healing, a miracle healing. She declared it as a miracle healing for her. Now, she hadn't been to any doctors or anything, but she hadn't taken her medicine. And so that was one of the things that we experienced there from my friend Tiki. And anyway, that was hers. Were you going to share about Diana, or should I share that? Okay. So Diana, the other miracle was Diana that was with us. We were working with children who had been, and adults who were disabled and developmentally were not able to live in society, and they created a village down south in the Negev for them. And we did a project where we were planting and doing landscaping, and Diana fell off a wall and hurt her leg. She ended up in a wheelchair and with a cane in order to get around. So we ended up going to Magdala. And those of you that have been there in the church downstairs, there's that picture with Yeshua and the sandals with his feet and the tallit And the woman who rushed through, who had the issue of blood, and she touched the hem of his garment. And the tour guide was telling the story about somebody that had been healed down there. And faith just came on Diana, and she said, I want that healing. Will you all pray for me? And so we all laid hands on her and prayed for her. And she was healed, and she ran up the stairs. And she could not walk, literally. And the rest of the time, she didn't need the wheelchair anymore. We brought it back to the people, and she was healed. So we experienced those two miracles there. And that was it. It was so good. There was a lot of warfare, too. It wasn't all roses. And anyway.
First of all, I'd like to praise God. Praise God for allowing me to go to walk in a land where it all began. For me, that was a miracle for us. But while we were there, I mean, it was just amazing to walk through all the places that, you know, Jesus walked, the disciples, and just to meet the people of Israel. And I had such peace the whole time I was there. I was not afraid at all, you know. And for me, the highlights were when I was planting in the land for this community, for these children and those adults that really couldn't do a lot for themselves. Praise God that he was sending people to come and volunteer. You know, to me, that was a highlight. And also meeting the Holocaust survivors, being able to serve them and bring joy to them, you know. And to be able to, you know, I couldn't, you know, we didn't speak the same language, but the language that helped was music. So when the music started and, you know, we were dancing with them and there was lots of joy and lots of laughter. And I remember looking at the one lady and I really felt love for her. And I said, I love you. And she goes like this. She had tears in her eyes and she goes like this to her and then to me. And so she understood what I was saying, which was amazing. And the other thing that leaving there, I felt like my heart, the people were in my heart now, that Israel's in my heart. Not only Israel, I mean the world, but I have a piece of them. And it was so weird to have that supernatural act of God to really just put it in my heart. So I'm very thankful for the opportunity, and I want to encourage anyone. Going to Israel and visiting the land is wonderful, but also going there and being a part of the people, interacting with the people, planting in the land for the Father. Also, cleaning up garbage in the Galilee. You know, I was cleaning my father's land. And so it was wonderful.
Ditto. I can't say anything more. And I know many of you have been to Israel and have experienced all this. But for Joyce and I, this was our first time. It was everything they spoke of and more. Literally, we went from south to north and east to west, all the way through from the Negev down by Beersheba, up to the Golan Heights, to the Mediterranean Sea, to Jerusalem in the mountains, to Mount Carmel. It was all an amazing, amazing trip, but I'll agree. And what they said was the gardening, working with the mentally disabled people there, we worked, I shouldn't say we worked, the men that were there worked along with about four or five other mentally disabled men. And there was actually one woman. And we all know what mulch is around here. Well, they've got a totally different idea of mulch there. It comes in bags about 3 foot by 3 foot by about 3 foot high. And it's clay roofing tiles chopped up into about 2-inch squares. And we were had an area of about 20 foot by 80 foot. And we were shoveling out of the bags, putting it into the wheelbarrows, rolling it over to where they wanted it, and spreading it out. But the beautiful part about it, it wasn't just that. In the center of that, they had three large pots, and they filled those with dirt. And then we planted a kumquat tree in the middle of it. And then the ladies came by and put little flowers around the kumquat trees. So it turned out to be a beautiful area, and we got it done. There was some left over, which they didn't know what they were going to do with that. So we just left that there for them to do the next day. But the other main thing at this school, and it literally is a school for mentally challenged and physically disabled children and adults, there's actually 145 people that actually live there night and day, year round. And it's almost, from the staff members to the people that are there, almost a one-on-one situation all the way through, because they can't be left alone. There's somebody with them 24/7. It's a beautiful facility, but the most amazing part about it was most of the people that were the staff members were volunteers from all around the world. And you can come there and volunteer for a couple weeks, a couple months, a year, whatever the case may be. The one day we took a Mikal, which was a beautiful young lady, pregnant, and she was our tour guide for the school the very first day. And she took us into a classroom, and this is the hard part. And there were about a half a dozen completely disabled people as far as paraplegics. Couldn't walk. I didn't hear a word out of any of them that was legible. Couldn't move their arms, couldn't move their legs. But they have a laptop for each one of them. And on this laptop, all they have to do is look at it, and their eye focuses on one part or one picture on the laptop, and it automatically brings it up. And then it goes to the next and to the next, and they can follow it. Just as we click along with our mouse, they do it with their eyes. And it's none of them were more than maybe 8 to 10 years old, I would say, from about 4 years old up. And just amazing, the amount of physical apparatuses that they have. One of the young men was just standing, but not on his own. He was like in a wheelchair, but it was standing. There was one beautiful little girl that was just kind of sitting there, and then she gave us a demonstration of her eyes doing it, and she was going from item to item on the screen, and some of it's games, some of it's learning, because it is an actual school. So it's not only people that live there, but also people from the community that can come in and live there. And I shouldn't say live there overnight, but live there for the day and then go back to their homes. Even to the point they've extended it to the community where, say, if somebody got into an accident, they have a complete physical therapy area there where you can come in, have your physical therapy, and then go back home again. It's funded, and I asked Mikhail how it was funded, and she said, well, it's funded partially by Israel, but the way they get their money from Israel is every dollar that they collect in donations, Israel gives them a dollar. So there's walls throughout the school with names and towns of people from all over America that have donated to this to keep it going. Yep, right. And Joyce wants to say something.
The way this all started was we had this really small team, and at first I was really disappointed. We usually, you know, would get a larger team. But now I can see it was all God's plan. Ted Pierce had a servants tour, and he was expecting like a huge crowd because a lot of people said, yes, we want to go and serve, we want to go and serve. Well, a lot are called, but few are chosen. And only one person showed up for his servants tour. And our little team decided to join with him. And Lynn, you know Ted. When Ted got there, he had no fire in his belly. He was very disappointed and bummed out. And by the end of the tour, he has a new fire in his belly and is very encouraged. He's the one that got us into this children's home. So now we have an open door to go there. What Russ was saying today in his parsha, having God's presence. It's not just to sit in a pew, it's to go out and let God live through you and touch people's lives. And as little as it may seem, as insignificant as it may seem, or as hard as it may be, and it gets hard at times, doesn't it? And all of you that have gone with us know that sometimes it gets really hard. But it really makes a difference in the kingdom. And so we really want to encourage you, whether you go with us or another tour, really try and minister to the people there. Not just see the sights, but touch the people's lives, because it really, really counts in the kingdom. And we encourage you to go.
A final thought. If any of you don't know Ted Pierce, you can go to tedpierce.com, and it's spelled P-E-A-R-C-E. He's got a number of pictures from our tour on there, and Millie is featured in a number of the pictures on there. Really? Yes, I've gone on and, yep. I don't think you were important enough to get on his site there, but it is good. Also, the entire tour was video photography by a professional gentleman that went along with us. And there is going to be a little movie about Stand With Israel? No, not Stand With Israel. Servant's Heart Tour, right, concerning it. So it'll be on YouTube, and it'll be out and about. And Ted Pierce is producing that.
Because he has vision for this kind of home in America, in different cities in America, for the disabled people that can't function in society, to have these in different cities. And this is what's moved his heart. He's done marches all over Europe for the children, for the abortions, or for pro-life. And now God's pierced his heart for this, so pierced his heart. So a servant's tour would be good to go on as well. Anyway.
And now we'll let Stu tell you a little bit.
Why don't we all stand, because then we're going to enter into a time of worship. But just to